Hello, this is Joshua Mack and A Few Minutes with a Puritan. We are reading The Fountain of Life by John Flavel, or Flavel. I say both. I'm not sure which it is, actually, but I do know whichever way you pronounce it, he wrote a great book on the person of Christ. And we want to think about Jesus Christ. We want to think deeply about Jesus Christ. Jesus is like an ocean without a bottom. We can dive in and swim as low as we can go, and we'll never reach the bottom of what there is to learn about Jesus Christ. In the very first chapter, he reminded us that this knowledge of Christ is more valuable than any other kind of knowledge. And he gave some proofs of that. And it's important for us to recognize that, because thinking about Christ will require some effort, but it's worth it. Oh, it's worth it. If there is one thing that I would love to share with you over and over, it is that thinking about Christ, thinking deeply about who he is the greatest privilege and joy that we as humans can experience in life. It's also how we're transformed. We are sanctified by staring. We are changed into Jesus's image by looking at Jesus. And how do we look at Jesus right now? We look by listening. We see through our ears. We hear what the scripture has to say about Jesus, and we think about that. And there's something supernatural that takes place in the mind of a believer, where the Holy Spirit is able to put the glory of Christ on display. And as we see his glory, sometimes it's too much for us, and we think, I don't understand. I can't comprehend this. This is a great mystery. But don't be afraid of that, because it's at that moment, really, that God is changing you. And Flavel's helping us think about Christ first by showing us what it was like for the Son of God before he took on human nature. And he shows us that the Father was eternally delighting in the Son. This is a happiness that is greater than any other happiness. And he did that in a couple ways. He showed us the difference between Christ's pre-incarnate state as the eternal Son of God and what it was like for him when he lived on this earth after assuming human nature. And then he talks about just God and shows us, tries to help us think about what it would be like for God to be happy. And then he compares the delight that God has in his Son with other kinds of delights. And thinking about it that way proves or demonstrates that there has never been and there is no real true comparison with the happiness or delight that God has in Jesus eternally. And so now he's going to apply all of that. And he begins with just some, he calls it information, how this great truth about the blessedness of the Son of God, the happy state of the Son of God before he assumed human nature, how that should change the way we think. And first of all, he says, it should cause us to be amazed by the love of God. What an astonishing act of love was this then, for the Father to give the delight, the darling of his soul, out of his very bosom for poor sinners. All tongues need to stop and falter that attempt the expressions of his grace. Expressions that are swallowed up by the magnificence of what he has done. Here, you must excuse the tongues of angels. Which of us would deliver a child, the child of our delights, an only child, to death for the greatest inheritance in the world? What tender parent can endure a parting pool with such a child? When Hagar was taking her last leave, as she thought, of her Ishmael, the text says she went and sat down against him a good way off, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Though she were none of the best of mothers, nor he the best of children, yet she could not give up the child. Oh, it was hard to part. What an outcry did David make, even for an Absalom, wishing he had died for him. What a hole, as I may say, has the death of some children made in the hearts of some parents, which will never be closed up in this world. Yet surely never did any child lie so close to a parent's heart as Christ did to his father's. And yet he willingly parts with him, though his only son, the son of his delights, and that to death, a cursed death for sinners, for the worst of sinners. Oh, the admirable love of God to men, matchless love, a love past finding out. Let all men, therefore, in the business of their redemption, give equal glory to the Father with the Son. If the Father had not loved you, he had never parted with such a Son for you. So thinking about the happiness of Christ in his pre-incarnate state should cause us to be amazed by the Father's love for us. And just a simple comparison helps. We think about what it would be like for us to lose a child. God the Father was willing to send his Son into this world. Why? The Bible says, because of his love for us. That should cause us to be amazed by our Father. And it should keep us from doubting or questioning his love for us when things get difficult. Second of all, he says, think about the love of Christ. This causes us to magnify not just the love of the Father, but the love of the Son. From one wonder, let our souls turn to another, for they're now in the midst of wonders. Adore and be forever astonished at the love of Jesus Christ to poor sinners, that ever he should consent to leave such a bosom and the inexpressible delights that were there for such poor worms as we are. Oh, the heights, depths, lengths, and breadths of unmeasurable love. See Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Read it and wonder. How is the love of Christ commended in ravishing circumstances to poor sinners? You would be loath to leave a creature's bosom, a comfortable dwelling, a fair estate for the best friend in the world. Your souls hate to leave their bodies, though they have no such great experience there. But which of you, if you ever found by experience what it is to be in the bosom of God by divine communion, would be persuaded to leave such a bosom for all the good that is in the world? That's a funny comparison, isn't it? It's hard for us to think about leaving our bodies to go be with God. And that's crazy, but it is. And yet Jesus here, God the Son, is willing, in a sense, to become poor. That's what the Bible says. Though he was rich, he was made poor. Why? For our sakes, for our sakes. This is love. Jesus Christ, who was embraced in God the Father's bosom after another manner than ever you were acquainted with, freely left it and laid down the glory and riches he enjoyed there for your sakes. And as the Father loved him, even so, believers, John says, he has loved you. What manner of love is this? Whoever loved as Christ loves. Whoever denied himself for Christ as Christ denied himself for us. Third, make sure you're in Christ. What difference should this make on our lives? It should cause us to be amazed by the love of the Father. It should cause us to be amazed and to wonder at the love of Christ. It should cause us to really want to be sure that we are where we're supposed to be. We're informed that interest in Jesus Christ is the true way to all spiritual happiness in heaven. Do you want to be in the heart, in the favor and delight of God? Get interest in Jesus Christ and you shall be there. God the Father delights in God the Son. You're in God the Son, God the Father delights in you. What old Israel said of the children of his beloved Joseph, "Your children are my children." The same God says of all the dear children of Christ. See, among men, all things are carried by interest. Persons rise in this world as they are befriended. Preferment goes by favor. So it is in heaven. Persons are preferred according to their interest in the beloved. Christ is the great favorite in heaven. His image upon your souls and his name in your prayers makes both accepted with God. This is part of why we're so confident when we pray, right? Or when we come to worship. God the Father loves the Son. I'm in the Son. God the Father loves me and wants to hear my prayers. Worship Christ. That's another practical implication of this great truth. How worthy is Jesus Christ of all our love and delights? You see how infinitely the Father delights in him, how he ravishes the heart of God. And shall he not ravish our hearts? What impresses God or causes God the Father to be joyful or happy should, of course, impress us. Oh my goodness, it should impress us. I present you a Christ this day, able to ravish any soul that will but look at him and consider him. Oh, that you did but see this lovely Lord Jesus Christ, then you would go home filled with love. Surely he is a drawing Savior. Why do you give away your precious affections upon small things? None but Christ is worthy of them. The Lord direct our hearts into the love of Christ. It's a prayer here. He's praying for us. Oh, that our hearts, loves, and delights did meet and center with the heart of God in this most blessed object. Oh, let him that left God's bosom for you be embosomed by you, though yours be nothing to God's. He that left God's bosom for you deserves yours. We are impressed by people for all kinds of reasons. We see someone who is really celebrated by this world. All of a sudden, he becomes somebody that's interesting to us, and we would feel really privileged to know him. But that's the world. Here we're talking about God the Father. Who is the one who for all eternity has been amazing to God the Father? It's God the Son. He should be amazing to us. If Christ be the beloved darling of the Father's soul, think what a sad thing it is to the heart of God to see his dear Son despised, slighted, and rejected by sinners. There is no such cut to the heart of God in the whole world. Unbelievers trample upon God's darling, tread underfoot him that eternally lay in his bosom. Smite the apple of his eye, and how will God bear this? Surely he will miserably destroy such wretched sinners. You see how much God the Father delights in God the Son. It causes you to realize that unbelief or rejection of the Son of God is a very, very big deal. It's not a big deal to a lot of people because they don't recognize how beautiful Jesus is. You see how beautiful Jesus is. Your view of sin changes, and you realize that the worst thing that we can do is to reject Jesus. What a dismal word is this. If anyone love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let the great curse of God lie upon that man until the Lord come. O sinners, you shall one day know the price of the sin. You shall feel what it is to despise Jesus, a Jesus that is able to compel love from the hardest heart. Oh, that you would slight him no more. Oh, that this day your hearts might fall in love with him. I tell you, if you would set your love to sail, none bid so fair for it as for Christ. If you're going to pursue anything with your heart in this life, nothing is more worthy of your heart than Jesus Christ. That's what he calls a use of information, how this truth should change the way we think. Now he's going to exhort. I kind of think he was doing some exhorting there, but he is giving a challenge to unbelievers and to believers. He begins with believers. He says, saints, if Christ lay eternally in this bosom of love and yet was content to forsake and leave it for your sakes, then be you ready to forsake and leave all the comforts you have on earth for Christ. Moses left the glory of Egypt. Peter and the other apostles left all. But what have we to leave for Christ in comparison of what he left for us? Surely Christ is the highest pattern of self-denial in the world. Remember when I was in university, hearing one man, a missionary, I think it was C.T. Studd, who said, if God became man and died for me, then no sacrifice I can make for him would be too great. David Livingston, who was a great missionary, people would sometimes talk about the sacrifices he made for Christ, and he would respond almost in puzzlement, what sacrifices are you talking about? If you look at what Christ has done for us, what is our self-denial for him? It's nothing. Second, he says, let this confirm your faith in prayer. If he that has such an interest in the heart of God intercede with the Father for you, then never doubt of audience and acceptance with him. Surely you shall be accepted through the Beloved. Christ was never denied anything that he asked. The Father hears him always. Though you're not worthy, Christ is, and he ever lives to make intercession for you. You don't have to worry whether God hears you or wants your best. And so if your prayers aren't being answered the way you would like them to be answered, know this, it's not because Christ isn't hearing you or God the Father isn't hearing you. He's proven that he loves you because he gave up his son for you, and he is totally happy in his son. So you come to him, you ask, he hears you. And if you're not getting it, that just means that right now it's not what's best for you. Let this encourage your heart, O saint, when you come to die, and not only make you patient in death, but in a holy manner, impatient until you do die. For where is your soul going but to that bosom of love from where Christ came? Father, Jesus says, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. And where is he but in that bosom of glory and love where he lay before the world was? The Bible calls heaven the fullness of joy. So when we leave this earth, where are we going? To the fullness of joy. Let every believer encourage his soul. Comfort one another with these words when we go to die. I'm leaving the bosom of a creature. I'm going to the bosom of God. Awesome. Finally, a challenge to unbelievers. If you're listening to this and you're not a believer, it may be. I want to exhort you, and Flavel wants to exhort his readers, to embrace the bosom Son of God. Poor wretches, he says. Hard words, but true. If we don't know Christ, we really are in a wretched situation. He says, whatever you are or have been, whatever guilt or discouragement at present you lie under, embrace Christ, who's freely offered to you, and you shall be as dear to God as the holiest and most eminent believer in the world. That's a great line, isn't it? It's great truth. Whatever ways you've sinned in the past, however discouraged you are as you look at yourself, embrace Jesus, who God happily offers up to you, and you shall be as dear to God as the holiest believer anywhere, because we're all made right the same way. It's because of Christ. That's an incredible opportunity. But if you still continue to despise and neglect such a Savior, sorer wrath is treasured up for you than other sinners, even something worse than dying without mercy. Why? Because you have heard the truth about Christ. It is a privilege to hear the truth about Christ, but it's also a responsibility. Oh, that these truths about Christ may never come to such a terrible end with any of your souls, in whose eyes his glory has been this day opened. May God the Father help us to see how beautiful Christ is as we continue to read this book by John Flavel, The Fountain of Life. And may he enable us to respond, to actually act, to not just hear about Christ, but to see him and to be transformed by him.